Chapter 37. Hey, Joe. Skippy waited until I got out of the shower before he called me. Not only out of the shower, I was toweled off, had pants on, and was buttoning my uniform top. It wasn't like him to be so polite. That got me worried even before he said anything else. Hey, Skippy. We need to talk. Oh, shit. It's not good when your significant other says that. When a usually snarky elder AI says it, it has to be all kinds of bad. Let me get this shirt done. I hurriedly fastened the last couple buttons. Okay. Stepping out in the cabin, I walked over to the couch and sat down, leaning forward to where his avatar appeared on a sort of coffee table. What's up? I don't see a way out of this. The fabricators on the support ships are working at full capacity. They will have the last of 88 ships outfitted with antennas in 3 days. They are converting 95 ships, I guess in case they have a problem or we manage to shoot a couple of them. The math is not in our favor. He paused because usually I would ask a stupid question or make some inane comment. All I did was nod for him to continue. Anyway you look at it, the kitties will be ready to dig me out of the ice before the spiders could get here in sufficient numbers to force the Maxulks to back down. That is not good for you. I know that. We discussed this. I am bluffing down here. If Valkyrie is destroyed, I want you to cooperate with the Maxulks. Not cooperate. Just don't let those timers expire and do what you can to protect Earth. Don't let anyone have access to Avalon or Gia Yuguan. I will do what you ask, but maybe there is an alternative. Like what? Surrender, Joe. Take their offer. Skippy, you know that as soon as you are aboard one of their ships, they're going to fire every gun they have at Valkyrie. Any promise they make is bullshit. We can't trust them. They will never let us jump away from here. Ah, damn it, this sucks! I'm not thrilled about it either. What are you doing about it? It surprised me that Skippy asked that question. I don't know there is anything I can do. Bullshit! You always dream up some crazy idea to save our asses. I did. Being down here where the kiddies can't risk shooting at us is my plan. It's kind of a lame plan, Joe. It's the best I could think of. Hey, you had the crazy idea to get us out of the ambush with your momentum erasing thing. Ugh, don't remind me. I'm still recovering from that bad idea. We talked for a while, both of us getting more depressed and not accomplishing anything. So what will you do, Joe? He asked. When the kitties have their tractor beam ready and there's no reason they can't shoot at us. I'm going to tell Riker that we surrender. You just told me that was a bad... I'm going to tell him that we surrender. I'm not going to do it. We'll climb up into orbit and hit them with every weapon we have. If we're going down, we'll do it with our boots on. Okay, that's better. What do you want me to do? Before we open fire, we will launch you away in a stealth missile. Hopefully you can get away with all the high-energy stuff flying around. Leave you? Just run away? I am not... You will be helping us. As long as the kiddies think you're aboard Valkyrie, they won't hit us with their big guns while we will be free to hit them as hard as we can. When we're gone... I felt a lump in my throat. You contact Riker. Tell him who and where you are. He folded his arms across his chest. This plan seriously sucks, Joe. Think about it this way. You'll have a great view of the fireworks. Listen, I can't keep you aboard the ship during the fight. You might fall into the planet, and we don't know for sure that tractor beam thing will work. Joe, he sighed. There's no way out. This feels like the ending of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. What? OMG, you never saw that movie. I never heard of it. You cannot die without having watched a classic like that. Okay, maybe later if... What are you doing right now, other than nothing useful? I didn't have a good answer for him, so we announced an impromptu movie matinee in an empty cargo bay. Most of the off-duty crew was there to watch with me. Before the movie started, Skippy whispered to me that he changed his mind because Butch and Sundance apparently die at the end. So... He played another movie that had the same actors, a comedy caper called The Sting. I never heard of that one either, which is too bad. It is a good movie. Crap. I wish I knew how the movie ends. Just as the FBI busts in to arrest everyone, Skippy paused the movie to loud complaints from the audience. Sorry, Joe, he said. The spiders are here. Talk to me, Skippy, I ordered as I strapped into the command chair. We had moved our captured frigate behind and slightly below us. Skippy had complete control of that little ship, and ever since we took it, he had bought frantically stripping the interior of everything we didn't need. Out the airlocks went anything that was not required because the ship no longer had a crew, including life support equipment, seats, consoles, cabin furnishings, all that. He even ripped out non-structural bulkheads, all water storage and pipes, even power conduits that were not connected to anything that ship needed for our purposes. Excess fuel was vented, along with several layers of reactor shielding. Stealth field generators were torn out. Probes and any missiles other than ship killers were launched unpowered to fall tumbling nose over tail to sink deep into the ice below us. We kept all 8 dropships from the frigate. Skippy had expertly flown those spacecraft from the frigate to Valkyrie while the 2 starships came to a stop in midair, hovering with engines and thrusters straining while the dropships transferred. The result of all Skippy's work was that the frigate's mass had decreased by 23%. It was lighter and could accelerate faster, and we needed all of that speed if we were to have a chance to escape. 19 spider ships are up there, Skippy reported. 19 that I know of. If others jumped in farther away, we won't know until those photons reach us. This is interesting. The spider ships jumped in without engaging their gamma ray suppression field. They want the Maxulks to know they are here. What are those ships doing? The big holographic display showed the planet where we were taking shelter and space around it to a distance of 5 light seconds. The spider squadron was about 2.5 light seconds away from our position. Their ships were in 3 triangle formations, with the lead ships a quarter light second closer to the planet. Maxulk ships were moving to envelop their ancient enemy, and a yellow glow throughout the area was the display's way of indicating there were powerful damping fields being projected by both sides. The Rindaloo had jumped in to surprise their rivals, but they would not be jumping away. 19 ships were too few to challenge the Maxulk's 8th fleet, even with the technology advantage of the Rindaloo. I could not imagine what the Spider Commander hoped to accomplish other than suicide. Right now they are talking to each other. The spiders and kitties, I mean. What are they saying? Can you decrypt the... No encryption, Joe. They are both transmitting in the clear. Wow. Well, this is not good news. Why? What are they... They are negotiating. To share custody of me. Holy sh... How the hell... The spiders are saying they will not allow the Maxulks to get control of me, but they are willing to discuss an arrangement where they both can assure I will disable the Elder weapons currently possessed by humans. Huh. As if. They should have asked me if I'm willing to... Damn it! We can't have our enemies working together against us! For the Rindaloo and Maxulks to join forces was my worst nightmare. I also didn't believe it would ever happen. Those 2 species had too much history to trust each other now, especially about something that could alter the balance of power in the galaxy. I had been wrong about that. What else was I wrong about? Screw this. Skippy, it looks like the kitties have... I zoomed in the display and squinted at it. 14 ships enveloping those 3 lead spider ships? Correct. Great. Of those 14, how many are infected with malware and in weapons range of the spiders? Oh, he caught on to my intentions. 3. On my signal, blow all 3. You got that? Affirmative. Pilot, prepare to climb us out of here. XO, battle stations, and get everyone strapped in. It took only seconds for Bilby to indicate the ship was set for battle conditions. The crew could get themselves ready while we flew. It would be a long climb back into orbit. Skippy, nuke those ships. Above us, 3 bright flowers appeared where Maxulk's warships had been. If humans had been involved, there would have been a delay while our slow monkey brains processed versions of WTF. Because the Rindaloo are a very advanced species and their AIs were blindingly fast, the spiders instantly realized 4 facts. They had not caused the enemy ships to explode. The Maxulks would not believe any claims of innocence. The time for negotiations was over. Whoever shot first would have an advantage. So, Even as a wave front of high-energy debris was washing over the Rindaloo ships, they fired on the Maxalks. 5 seconds later, another 30 spider ships jumped in to join the fight. So much energy was flying around that our sensors would have difficulty following the action if Skippy had not directly fed data to our displays. "Chen," I ordered, after a few seconds' delay to make it look like we had been surprised by the sudden outbreak of shooting. "Get us out of here!" The deck tilted before the artificial gravity system could compensate, a mighty battlecruiser standing on its tail and surging for altitude. Behind us, the little frigate followed like a puppy, burning its main engines hard. The frigate's nose was tucked in right behind Valkyrie, drafting like on a NASCAR super speedway. The normal background rumbling sound of our engines became a dull roar, accompanied by a faint, high-pitched shriek of dense air whistling past our un-aerodynamic hull. Note to self, starships are designed to fly in space, not through air. For a spacecraft to climb into orbit, it goes up, but more importantly, it goes fast. Achieving a stable orbit is all about gaining enough speed so the planet's gravity can't drag your ship back down. We were not doing that. Valkyrie was flying straight up and keeping speed below the velocity required to achieve orbit. If the ship got hit and the engines died, our momentum would keep us going vertically for a few minutes, then we would fall straight back down. If that sounds dangerous, it is. It is also less dangerous than the Maxalk's blockade fleet shooting at us. We knew that the kiddies had strict orders not to shoot at us until after we reached escape velocity, so we were not doing that. Going straight up, essentially hovering on thrust all the way up to jump altitude, was shockingly inefficient and wasted enormous quantities of fuel. And I did not care. What I did care about was getting high enough so the planet's gravity well did not prevent us from forming a jump wormhole. Yes, the entire area was saturated with powerful overlapping damping fields, and we couldn't do anything about that. So what was the point of climbing away from the planet? I'll explain that later. We had enough trouble to... Skippy waved for my attention. "Hey, Joe, the spiders are calling. They want to talk to you." Flipping a middle finger at the display, I shook my head. "I'm not in the mood to listen to a bunch of threats right now." "No threats, Joe. This is interesting. Can I play the message?" Sims and I exchanged a glance. "Sure," I said.
"This is a communication for the human called Bishop. If you have a method for escaping from this place, we suggest you do it now."
Well, shit, that's surprising. "Not really, sir," Sims said, giving me another surprise. "This is what I expected when we saw the spiders showed up here with so few ships." I stared at my executive officer. What? "They don't have a prayer of capturing Skippy, and they can't trust the kiddies to share custody. Their objective here is to make sure the Maxalks do not get Skippy." "Huh. That totally made sense after she explained it. When were you going to tell me?" She didn't reply. That's not true. Her reply was a combination raised eyebrow and head tilt. I got it. She meant that I was the last person who should complain about people keeping secrets. Okay. I looked away from the accusing eyebrow, uncomfortable because I knew she was right. "Skippy, connect me with... Who am I talking with?" The speaker did not identify themselves. It could be an AI. "Whatever." Holding down the transmit button, I cleared my throat and said, "This is Bishop. We are preparing to jump from this star system." There was a delay caused by speed of light. Then,
"Do you require assistance?"
"We can handle most of the blockade ships in low orbit. It would help if you could keep the others off our backs." Another delay, longer than just required by photons flying back and forth.
"We count 134 ships in the blockade force."
"Uh-huh. Well, we haven't shown the full capability of this ship. We have a very powerful weapon that is unknown to you," I lied.
"We will be eager to witness a demonstration of your power." Another pause. "You humans are curious creatures. You are too young to be entrusted with such power."
"Yeah, that's what my parents say."
"You are a threat to the entire galaxy. To us. We cannot allow you to possess such power. However, at this moment, our interests are aligned." Another pause. "Good luck to you and your crew."
"Thanks.
Bishop, the next time we meet, We will not be so cooperative. The next time we meet, you had better stay out of our way. I clicked the transmit button off. Man, once the battle around the planet began, it was on. Apparently, neither Apex species trained their military in de-escalation. The spider ships took a pounding from the overwhelming number of Maxalt's warships shooting at them, but the battle wasn't as one-sided as you might expect. The Rindaloo ships were faster and had more powerful shields and weapons, and they projected a sort of anti-damping field around them that prevented enemy ships from jumping in on top of them. Maxalt ships seeking to join the fight had to jump in beyond their weapons range, then fly through space the long way. While they were doing that, the spider ships were dodging and turning and dashing in and out of enemy formations and generally driving the kiddies crazy. It was clear to me just from watching the first minute of the battle that the spiders had a significant technology advantage. It was also clear that their strategy was not to engage in an all-out fight. Instead, they were gradually luring the main force of Maxalt ships away from the planet. That left a powerful blockade force above us. But that was hundreds rather than thousands of ships for us to deal with. The Rindaloo strategy was working. They were also running out of time. Their ships were becoming disabled one by one, and a damaged ship was attacked by dozens of the enemy, like sharks in a feeding frenzy. Whatever we were going to do, we had to do it fast. The ships of the blockade force above were doing their best to keep pace with us. We had caught them off guard when we zoomed straight up. The blockade ships first had to cancel their forward velocity and come almost to a stop in orbit, dancing on their tails for optimal balance. The bigger ships, like the battleships that made up a quarter of the blockade ships, could not manage the maneuver and were frantically trying to reposition ahead of us, farther from the planet. They were taking up position above us, below what they guessed our jump altitude was. If they couldn't shoot at us, they planned to stop us from jumping, even if that meant risking a collision. It was kind of flattering that they thought our jump drive could operate at such a low altitude. Five battleships were crisscrossing above us, daring us to fly between them. It would be dangerous to run that gauntlet. Any miscalculation by either side would have thousands of tons of armor-plated starships trading pain, and that could be fatal. Valkyrie burst out of the clouds, only increasingly thin air and the vacuum of space were above us. Other than, you know, more than 100 powerful and bloodthirsty senior species starships. None of the enemy ships were shooting at us. That could change in a hurry. Skippy, are you ready to do your thing? I was born ready, Joe. Weps, I said to the weapons officer behind me. Fire at will. Our disruptor cannons lanced out, firing six beams at one battleship. There was nothing especially powerful about those beams. The disruptors were actually poorly tuned to create chaotic, slightly incoherent beams, and the cannon barrels had been lined with contaminants so the beams fluctuated and sparkled in odd segments of the spectrum. When the beams struck the energy shields of the target battleship, they were focused with extreme precision, concentrated within 2 nanometers. The shield there flared as it struggled to deflect the high-energy particles, and a vibration traveled along the shield to the generators buried under the thick armor plating of the massive warship. The streams of particles could not by themselves cause significant damage, but they were tuned to pulse in a specific sequence that would be detected by the target ship's sensors. That odd sequence was noted by the ship's control AI and by another AI inside a missile that was resting in a magazine at the core of the ship.
Todd is a stupid name, the missile thought to itself. How come Skippy called himself the Magnificent while I'm stuck with just Todd? Why can't I be Todd the Fierce or something really cool like Todd the Destroyer? Oh...
The missile's AI had a brilliant inspiration.
Why, I don't need a name at all. I could be referred to as He Who Brings Doom. No, Bringer of Doom. Yeah, that is cool.
Before the signal was received, the AI was considering that it did not even need Skippy at all, that Skippy was an asshole. The signal interrupted its thoughts.
You know who else are assholes? It asked itself. The Maxalts. So, fuck 'em.
The missile's warhead gleefully exploded at maximum yield, wide dispersal mode. Ordinarily, the warheads of Maxalt's missiles were not vulnerable to cooking off,
being equipped with a variety of safeguards to prevent accidental detonation. All the safety features built into their warhead triggers were rendered useless when they melted at several million degrees, and the explosive material of the warhead itself was exposed to hellish radiation. The entire magazine, all 68 missiles, erupted.
"Scratch one battle wagon," Skippy muttered, feeding targeting data to our weapons consoles. In the main display, ships of the blockading squadron were exploding as our harmless maser beams splashed against their energy shields. Not quite harmlessly, as each beam caused a cascade of events that resulted in a missile warhead to detonate. Boom, 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 bright flowers of destruction bloomed silently in orbit as ships cracked apart from internal explosions.
"Skippy," I asked, my stomach in knots. "The kiddies have no idea why those ships are blowing up?"
"Nope," he giggled. "I am monitoring message traffic between the surviving ships. The messages are mostly variations on a theme of, oh shit! But there is also speculation that we have a super weapon they can't understand. There is even talk that it might be the same type of weapon we used to destroy that underground Theranin facility on Slithin, because they still have no freaking clue how we did that either."
"Oh, wow!" He highlighted the debris cloud from an exploding battlecruiser. "That one looks like a bunny!"
The glowing debris cloud from that ship did indeed look like a bunny rabbit. Secondary explosions had sent two streams of hot particles soaring outward in long ovals like ears.
"Yeah," I agreed. "Oh, look at that one!"
A battleship had torn apart, its forward hull flying outward at high speed, spinning to crash into a cruiser. That unlucky ship cracked in half, sending sparks of fire outward from the jagged sections of hull. Then the aft engineering section of the cruiser exploded, adding to the chaos.
"Well, you don't see a two-for-one shot every day," Skippy mused.
"No, you do not."
Did I feel bad that we were treating the destruction of an enemy fleet as a spectator sport? No, I did not. Not even one little bit. Sure, the crews of those ships were just doing their jobs, and they had to be terrified as they watched their fellow ships exploding from a force they did not understand. The survivors knew their deaths would be coming soon, and there wasn't anything they could do about it. Ships of the blockade squadron were turning to run. We kept shooting. That was fair. Those ships could turn around to attack us at any second, and we needed to do more than just escape. We had to sow fear into the hearts of the enemy. Fear and doubt, so they would hesitate to mess with us in the future. We needed their rotten kiddie hearts to tremble when they thought of us and the unknown weapons we possessed. The fact that we did not actually have any such weapons was just a delicious bonus. It took less than 3 minutes for us to devastate the blockade squadron in low orbit. We could not blow up every ship. Not all of them were infected with malware. But by the time we ceased fire, the remaining ships had turned tail and ignited their boosters, running away as fast as they could. Ships at a greater distance were racing in, though it seemed to me those ships were not moving quite as fast as they could, and I considered their lack of enthusiasm to be good judgment rather than cowardice. Hell, I certainly wouldn't want to fly my ship into a death trap. As the last few blockade ships exploded, Skippy took off his oversized admiral's hat and placed it over his heart, or where his heart would be if his torso was not a beer can. His tribute to a fallen enemy lasted only a few seconds, then he jammed the hat back on his head and turned to look at me. "You know, Joe, the light from those exploding ships is like fireflies on a warm summer night." "Huh. You're right." That thought brought back pleasant childhood memories. "Skippy, you just destroyed more than 100 enemy ships without us actually firing a shot. Thank you."
"Oh, no need to thank me, Joe."
He turned his attention back to the fading nebulas of debris on the display. "This stuff is what makes my job so rewarding. It's the little things in life that make it really special, you know?" Sims and I shared a look, and to our credit, neither of us snorted or rolled our eyes. Only Skippy could think the destruction of an enemy task force was a little thing.
"It sure does, Skippy. Okay, now that you've plowed the road for us, it's time to get the hell out of here. Pilot, ignite the boosters."
Valkyrie's boosters did not actually ignite. We didn't fire them up with a match. That was just the term we agreed to use. "Hold it to 53% throttle. We can't lose our speedboat." As before, We felt it when the boosters fired. The artificial gravity field adjusted slower than the acceleration buildup. There was a roaring sound, this time entirely transmitted through the ship's structure because the ship had climbed above the upper edge of the planet's atmosphere. Behind us, the frigate's own engines were burning themselves out to keep pace with us. The main display had four items of interest. A dotted line in front of us, showing the minimum altitude for us to attempt a jump. Symbols representing enemy ships within weapons range. There were only three of those, and they were racing away from us at full power. Fluctuating numbers that represented the remaining life of the frigate's engines, and a yellow shading covering the whole area, showing the strength of the damping fields around us. It was bright yellow farther away, but still plenty strong at our location and at the jump altitude line. The Maxalts tried to contact us. I ignored them. The Rindaloo were too busy to talk, and they had said all they needed to anyway. The only talking that mattered now was in the language of math, and I suck at math. We needed to reach jump altitude before the kiddies could interfere. Already, ships at the edge of the display were slowing to turn around, and one ship launched a volley of missiles at us. Webs, I held up a hand to the officer at the weapons console behind me. Knock those birds out of the sky, please. This time, our big maser cannons fired for real, properly tuned and pumping out terawatts of coherent photons. The beams were set to fan out in a broad cone, a setting for frying highly maneuverable stealth missiles. Most of the deadly weapons exploded at a safe distance from the ship. Our point defense cannons blasted the few that got through the main barrage. More missiles raced in from the edge of the display. Even my slow monkey brain could see we would reach the jump line before the missiles arrived. As we came within 200 kilometers of jump altitude, still moving straight up from the planet and at less than escape velocity, I ordered, "Pilot, kill the booster. Skippy, slingshot the speedboat around us." "Aye, aye, Cap'n," he replied with a smirk, but I could see he was enjoying himself. The sudden loss of acceleration threw me forward in my chair. On the display, the frigate swerved to surge past Valkyrie, reaching the jump line 2 seconds before we did. The Maxalts didn't know why we brought their frigate with us, but they are smart kiddies. They knew it couldn't be anything good for them. Lances of maser and particle cannon fire struck the frigate, making its shields flare and weaken. Too little, too late. "Ready, Skippy?" "You realize this is only a theory, right? No one has ever done anything like this before." "Yeah, but either way, it's a win-win for us monkeys." He stared at me. "How do you figure that?" "If this works, you can add a plaque about it to the lobby of your Awesomeness Hall of Fame." "And if it doesn't work?" "Then you will blame yourself for failure until the end of time." "Shit. Well, this sucks." "Do it anyway." "Okay," he grumbled. 3, 2, 1, hold my beer. Ahead of us, the frigate jumped, or tried to jump. It couldn't actually from a stable jump wormhole because of the damping fields around us. What actually happened, too fast for anyone but Skippy or Bilby to see, was the frigate's jump drive began to form a jump wormhole. Then the frigate's overstressed jump drive exploded. Valkyrie's forward shields shunted aside burning debris and radiation. Still, the nose armor was pitted and scarred from chunks of frigate impacting at high speed. The frigate's jump attempt was a failure. Skippy was still experiencing a temporary awesomeness deficit. Ships all around us were still projecting damping fields. But the collapse of the frigate's jump wormhole created a short-lived, very local chaotic resonance right in front of us. Valkyrie flew into that already fading bubble where the damping fields were disrupted. That disruption was not enough for our jump drive to form a stable wormhole. Not by itself. Under the direction of Skippy the still very much magnificent, our individual drive coils were retuned in real time to adjust for the topography of space-time around us, looking for tiny areas where space-time was especially flat. Skippy found them. Our coils surged with power, creating a stable jump wormhole where none could exist. Well, sort of stable. The forward section of our battlecruiser slipped into the wormhole's event horizon picoseconds before the wormhole destabilized. An event that caused the rear section of the ship to fall outside the twisted space-time of the wormhole. We were saved because when the nose of the ship entered the wormhole, it was connected to the rest of the ship, and the nose emerged that way on the other end. Let's not mention how we all felt when the ship came through the jump.
What matters is that we survived, that Skippy was still conscious, and that I was grateful I hadn't eaten biscuits and gravy for breakfast like Sims had. Okay, enough about that. Skip, I had to reach for the barf bag again. Sit rep.
Whew! Hey, let's not do that again, shall we?
That would be great, yeah. Sit rep.
It looks like we broke several of the ship's frames. Best to be gentle with maneuvers until my bots can repair the damage. We blew 40% of the drive coils. The good news there is most of them can be salvaged and reinitialized. The main display showed the familiar symbol of Valkyrie in the center, and nothing else. Like, nothing.
Where are we?
The navigation system is confused. Give me a moment to triangulate our position. Yep. We jumped 26 light hours. Huh. Wow, we were way off.
Ah, we survived. Let's focus on that.
He was right. We were far from where we expected to be. The point we aimed for was a tenth of a light year.
Can we jump again?
That depends. Can you give me a couple hours to check and realign the drive?
That depends. Are you detecting any ships out there?
Before he responded, the display lit up with two new symbols. Maxalt ships, one 4 light hours away, one less than 3.
Just those two?
If we jump now, how far can we travel?
To be safe, and we should be safe, keep it under a quarter light gear.
Okay, take a few minutes to work on the drive.
It will take more than a few minutes, Joe.
I ordered a relief crew brought onto the bridge. The pilots especially needed a break after our nerve-wracking climb away from the planet. Our next move would be the simple routine of jump, recharge, and jump again before we went through the nearest wormhole. We had to get there before the Maxalts flew ahead to blockade the damned thing. They certainly had enough ships to do that. We were in a race against time, and there wasn't anything I could do other than wait for Skippy to finish doing whatever the hell he was doing. Major Shepard stepped off the bridge, reluctant to give up the controls, but knowing a fresh pilot would be safer for the ship. The climb out of the toxic soup of the planet's atmosphere had been tiring. He needed coffee, and he could get it in the pilot's ready room. In the passageway, he passed Colonel Smythe, who was stretching his new legs that were stiff from sitting too long. Shepard nodded to the star leader, then turned.
Sir? Shepard?
The pilot looked through the doorway into the bridge.
An hour ago, I thought we were dead. I thought we were dead ever since we jumped into that ambush. It is a miracle that we're still alive, but everyone's acting like this is no big deal.
Yes. Major, you're forgetting two facts.
Sir?
We are the Merry Band of Pirates, Smythe declared, his one side of his mouth curling up in a grin.
And,
he pulled out a Z-phone to display the time and date, this is Tuesday. Skippy fussed with the drive for half an hour while the sick feeling in my stomach changed from being caused by the bad jump to being caused by worry about enemy ships jumping in on top of us. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. The crew knew I was nervous. I was tapping a foot on the floor and generally being irritable with everyone.
All right, Skippy, that's enough.
But no, damn it, pounding a fist on the armrest. I was losing my cool. We barely got out of there. Can we jump now?
Well, it...
Yes or no?
Yes,
he sniffed, as pissed at me as I was with him.
Go ahead. The jump is programmed in the navigation system.
Pilot. Wait. A little voice in my head warned me I was acting like a child, not a starship captain.
Bilby, give me your assessment. Should we jump now?
Wow, that's like more of a philosophical question, dude.
He was not helping me. Clenching a fist, I spoke slowly. I am asking whether it is safe to jump.
A jump does unnatural things with space-time, man. There is always danger.
Compared to the danger of the Maxalts finding us while we're sitting here?
Oh, in that case, we should skedaddle, you know?
We jumped, 3 light days short of a quarter light year. That was the best Skippy could manage until he took the drive offline to realign the coils. Okay, Joe, please listen to me, Skippy pleaded. If you can wait 7, maybe 8 hours, I can fix the drive so we can resume something like a normal jump pattern. Before I spoke,
I let out a long breath, a breath I'd been holding since we jumped into the ambush.
Take all the time you need to do the job right, Skippy. Sorry I snapped at you.
No problem, Joe. We are all under pressure.
XO, secure from battle stations. Bring a relief crew onto the bridge. I want everyone to take 6 hours. That includes you. I'll handle the bridge.
Chen turned in the pilot couch.
When can we watch the rest of that movie, sir?
Eh? I said like an old man.
You really enjoyed it?
It was good, she shrugged. But also it was kind of a good luck charm for us. We should finish it before our luck runs out.
Good point, I laughed.
Sims lingered after the relief crew took their stations. She jerked her head toward the door. I followed her into the passageway.
Where are we going from here?
The nearest wormhole, if the kiddies haven't blockaded it, I said sourly. We did not need any more problems, yet the universe never missed a golden opportunity to screw with me. It would have been nice for Skippy to screw with the closest wormhole, connect it directly to Backstop, but he couldn't do that. Even if he could, we shouldn't do that. He couldn't do that because the wormhole network was restricting his actions after he disrupted vast sections of the network by moving and awaking dormant wormholes. We shouldn't screw with that wormhole anyway, in case the Maxulks were watching it closely. We did not want to risk them discovering how we were able to manipulate Elder wormholes. She nodded.
From there? Try the original rendezvous point?
I shook my head. No. My guess is that second batch of ships are clouds of debris now. We should alert the Beatles so they can pick up any survivors. Then we're going straight to Earth.
Earth?
She was surprised.
Almost all of our combat power is at Jia Yuguan.
True, but a handful of upgraded Beetle ships can't do much against the Maxulks. XO, I'm worried about what's happened to Earth while we've been away.
To Earth? The Maxulks had a significant part of their fleet pinning us down back there.
They did. They also have thousands of other ships. While we were at Snowcone, the kiddies had us out of action. They knew we couldn't interfere, whether they captured Skippy or not. If they were going to strike our homeworld, that was the perfect opportunity. I couldn't read her expression. You disagree?
No, I was thinking the same thing.
Why didn't someone around here needs to be an optimist?